You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Alrighty. Live from Studio 2. This is Mickey Knox, and this is Blunder Temper Dark Photography. The song that you're hearing is INX, The Meditate. I got a special guest with me, my brother's here, finally.
Yes, I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so before we get into the stuff that we were discussing in the car on the way here, Why don't you plug yourself, giving you 5 minutes.
Yes, I'm so thankful for that, too.
Go ahead.
You can follow me on Instagram at Antoine, period, with W-I-T-H, period, the T-H-E, period, hair. I'm an actor, a host, model, etc. But yes, I'm a very talented person, very creative. I've started businesses before, so I have a mindset on how to do that.
We've started businesses together.
Yes, exactly. So that should just tell you within itself that it's obtainable if you want it, and you just got to know what to do, and you just got to do a little research, and you can make anything that you want to do manifest into being what it is today.
Exactly. So how was every – oh, and happy birthday to the birthday girl in the room. It is –
Mills' birthday.
Millie Mills' birthday today.
How old are you? Are you going to tell the people?
It's me. I'm 30. That's it.
You know, they always say that that dirty 30 thing. You know, when I turned 30, I'm 31, y'all, so my birthday is next year. But when I turned 30, I didn't think of it as dirty. I thought my mindset would be, why be with the cliche of saying dirty 30s and why not clean 30s? You know what I'm saying? Somebody who's... To me, when you get into your 30s, that's like a whole nother level. To me, it's like that divider.
You being, like young to actually going into being grown as hell.
Yes.
Really.
Because once you get over 30, then, you know, things change. And when you're in your 30s, things happen. You know, your body change and all kind of stuff.
I personally felt an internal time clock first. And then once I start leveling myself out and start dropping old habits, like, that's what made everything come around for me. So I agree with you. Like,
I wish people would get a lot of times wake up calls in their 30s.
True.
You know,
true.
Because
very true.
30 is pivotal.
Exactly.
It's pivotal in multiple areas.
Exactly.
It's pivotal financially because you really need to be on a financial path.
You need to be on a path. Yeah, a path. Exactly.
So then your 40s, 50s, 60s, et cetera.
You're setting yourself up for that time.
Exactly. And just if you want to do something, try to do it in your 30s because you want to obtain something that you're interested in, but still not feel like you're too old to be doing it. You know how they always say, oh, if you're a rapper and you're in your 40s,
and you're
you need to let it go.
Here you go. If you're a rapper and you're 35, you need to stop.
You know, but not saying that that's a bad
thing. I'm sorry, but I believe in that a little bit.
I agree. But if you're 40 and you're trying to be a rapper,
I think
you got to let it go.
Exactly, because my thing is just this. It's like I believe in it to a certain extent. Like, if you're not making any headway still at all in music,
exactly.
You're not progressing,
exactly.
You need to stop. But if you're 35 and you're still rapping, learn how to convert that into a form of making music.
Exactly.
So you love music because you're still trying to rap.
Exactly.
So then just transform that into like production.
Exactly.
Or maybe leading a younger rapper and helping them learn the game.
You know how I always love to learn multiple things that surround it
exactly.
by one intricate thing. So, you know, like I said, I like to act. You know, I'm out here acting. But I want to learn other aspects. Like, I've been writing, and I'm trying to get a camera so I can start producing. And I want to start doing photography. All
exactly.
of these things tie in with each other. And when you want to do something, you need to know the other areas. Because a lot of times, people, they get play when they exactly. don't know all the areas. And so if you're 35 and you're still trying to be a rapper, you never know. Maybe it's time for you to learn how to be a producer.
Exactly.
Maybe it's time for you to learn how to be a ghostwriter, because you never know. Mm-hmm. By you learning those other things and doing those other things,
it can
that could just
you.
Catapult you in the right place, right time. And I believe in right place, right time, because mm-hmm. it's a true thing.
It is. Really it's is. Very true. And so how was everybody's Halloween?
You know what? I thought my Halloween didn't go as I wanted to go, because I really wanted to go trick-or-treating.
Me too. When I seen those kids, I was like, oh, I want to go. And I was
lie.
Like, let my 33-year-old shut up.
I don't care. I wanted some candy. I was telling my friend, like, we can easily put on a mask. Because these kids that are our age,
yeah.
you know, they're 16 years old.
I
they
was
look
just
like
saying that.
They're our age.
I was just saying that.
So why can't I blend in with a mask?
I was just saying that on the way over here, like, it's some 20-year-old kids that look like they 33.
I'm telling you. Living a hard knock
I'm
life
like,
and
what
not
are
one,
they
and
putting
hasn't
in their,
lived one at all.
What are they putting in the infomule?
They're doing more than that. It's the fast food and all of that
it's
stuff,
the,
too.
Yeah,
so
it is.
It's a whole lot more than
see,
just
we didn't,
the milk.
We don't mean to sound old, but kids, we didn't have that.
I'm telling you.
We had to be good
and then
to
not
go to
only
McDonald's.
That, we actually went outside, too. So that plays a factor as well, because you're getting that vitamin D.
Exactly.
And you need the vitamin D. So by these kids, they're hovering over these video games in the house all day. They're not getting active. They're not getting in that vitamin D. So that's why they look old.
True.
In my opinion, no offense. But
that's
hey.
True. So we wanted to get into the most lengthiest topic first.
Yes, yes, which is politics.
Because
I that
hate,
is something
you know
that's
what?
Up
I
right
really,
now.
I really, really do not like talking about politics, but it's a part of our life.
And yes.
It's an integral part, because, you know, I'm not wealthy at all.
Not me either. I'm getting
so,
there, though.
Yeah, we're making steps.
Yes.
But most people are not there. So, here in Michigan, our election is November the 6th. Well, it's November
yes,
6th.
Yes, November the 6th.
November
that's
the 6th,
Tuesday.
Please. It's Tuesday.
The polls open at 7 and they close at 8. I'll be working the polls, just to let you guys know that. So, that is another reason
so
why we're talking about this topic.
So, if you see him and you heard this episode.
Yes.
Say, I heard you. I came to vote.
Yes.
Something. Give him a shout out. Say, I heard you. Whatever. But, the first thing that I want to let people know is if you live in the city of Detroit and Wayne County, and you want to vote absentee, you have until Saturday by 3 p.m. to submit your application for an absentee ballot to vote in this upcoming election.
And I think absentee ballots are a good thing as well, too.
Yes.
Because it also gives you extra time to really research the candidates.
Exactly.
If you are a true person who wants to make a change, you know, that'll give you that extra time to do that research versus mm-hmm. if you didn't really do your research before you went to the polls.
Exactly.
You know, you just picking any, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah, because I'm always behind on, like, researching. I really do that, too, because I don't want to be – because I'm the type of person where I research multiple things at the same time.
Yes.
So I don't want my signals to get crossed once I get to the polls.
Exactly.
So I kind of wait the week before and just do a deep dive into every candidate on everything that I can find.
Exactly.
So just to start off, for Wayne County, this is not for your county. If your county is not Wayne, we have running for governor, Bill Shulett.
Gretchen Wiener. Whitmore, I'm sorry.
Gretchen
they
Wiener.
They got an S.
For Mean Girls. Stop calling her that.
I mean, I'm sorry, but if you've seen her videos, you will say as well, she's a mean girl. She wears red lipstick and she wears red jackets. To me, she's a devil in sheep's clothing. And
no.
we're gonna get to a devil in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till we get to him, because he is a true devil in sheep's clothing. But I feel the same way about her as well. She is a Democrat, but
yeah,
I don't
we
know.
As we have seen, We have a lot of Democrats.
Yes, yes.
That are like that.
And if you also notice, too, there's a lot more Democrats that are running and trying to get these seats. So that should also put something in your mind that it's a change that needs to happen.
So, yeah. So back to the ticket. So for governor and lieutenant governor, we have Bill Shulett. His running partner is Lisa Posthumous Lyon. Mm-hmm. Then Gretchen Whitmer, she's running with Garland D. Gilchrist II. They're Democratic. For the Libertarians, we have Bill Gelinaw. Angelique Chizer Thomas is his running mate. Then U.S. taxpayers, Todd Shagler, Earl P. Lackey is his lieutenant governor. Then running for the Green Party is Jennifer V. Curlin, with Sharon H. Davenport, Natural Law, Keith Buttigieg, and Raymond Warner is his lieutenant governor. Of course, I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for, but let's go down from there. Secretary of State, Republican candidate, Mary Trader Lang, Jocelyn Benson, Gregory Scott Stemphile, Robert Gale. If I'm butchering any of you guys' names, sorry. But, yeah, I just say go to the Secretary of State website. Look at your – you have to put in your county, put in your city, and then put in your ward and precinct if you know it. And that's easy with just Google as well, because this is a pretty long ticket. But I'll just go to the
– I think we should just hit the key people.
Yeah, that, the key people. Where
we steady so see in the news.
I'm steadily seeing, like, Gretchen, like you said. One cool thing that they did have them do is do this thing on Facebook. I implore you to please look it up if you're in Michigan. Get to know the candidates, where you watch videos from the actual running candidates, and they tell you what their intentions are. And some of the candidates haven't made a video, but the main running ones that everybody is paying attention to, like John James, a part of the Republican Party, Marcia Squire, Green Party, Debbie Stabenow, of course, Debbie Stabenow.
Yes, I love Deb. I love Debbie.
You know
She's
what, Debbie? I'm not going to say
I'm
all
for
that.
Debbie.
Okay. Debbie Stabenow, you're fine. and they go all the way down to...
Well, since we touched on Congress, the U.S. Senator.
Yeah, the
Debbie
Senate.
Is running for Senate. Mm-hmm. John James, I want to touch on him because he is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh, that's controversial.
When you hear a commercial for a particular party... It's always stated in their commercial.
Who their party is.
Exactly. And when a person does not specify in their commercials at all who the party they're running for, that is the person you need to watch the most. And you need to do your research on them. Mm-hmm. He is a Republican. I just want to put that out there. Mm-hmm. I understand he's an African-American, and you can choose to be whatever you want to be.
Exactly.
But if you're trying to appeal to your African-American counterparts, then you need to let it be known who you are. Because if you think about it, when I'm listening to 955 or any of those stations, I don't hear him. But when I listen to 92.3,
exactly.
When I listen to 105.9,
people
when I listen,
that basically cater to black audiences,
you hear his commercials. And he does not once state that he is a Republican. But if you look at him on the ballot, you will see that he is a Republican. And you guys, you got to be careful with that.
And
you
got
to be
mindful. But see, that's not only with him. A lot of candidates do that because it's just in politics. Like, it's just to get the most votes that they can. And they also want to erase whatever you feel about the candidacy. But I do very much agree with you that I feel like everybody should disclose
exactly
their party, because then I can know from what standpoint you're coming from.
Exactly.
Or what beliefs you may have. I also think that is they should make their beliefs more clear. Because,
yes.
You know, like, don't just hit on points that you think that'll help, you know, the black community or minority. Let's stop saying black. Minority
communities
in general.
Yes.
In
general.
So don't just hit on good points because you feel like that's what we want to hear. I want to know exactly what you stand
for. But
the
sad thing about it is I really don't know what he stands for.
That's my point. And I don't know what he stands for.
I never hear what he says. I know the commercial that always comes to mind is the commercial with him and his mother. Mm. And she basically just talks about him being a family man, being a man in the army.
And what does that have to do with our lives?
She never once say what his policies are, what right. he's trying to do.
Or how those, or what would have even been better in that commercial was if she talked about all that and then showed how it harkens to his, you know, political beliefs.
Exactly. But they don't do that. So that when you hear commercials like that, I just want the people to know, when you hear stuff like that, people, family members or whomever speaking on a particular party, and they don't specify who they are with.
Right.
You got to do your research on them because they can be very sneaky
and very problematic.
In my opinion, he's a plant, and because he is,
he's a political plant. He's not an industry plant. He's a political plant.
He is. He's backed by Trump. Trump True. Is backing him.
He is.
So that makes him, to me, a plant. He's yeah. African American. Let's plant you in here. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can do. And if you get
because
in there, you're going
to
help the home team.
And we have to still remember that here in Michigan, we're still dealing with the Flint water crisis. Look
exactly.
how long it's been going
exactly.
on. So it's
that's
like.
That's another thing that's kind of a little bit discouraging. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me a little bit mad because Michigan has had terrible roads since I was a kid.
Exactly.
And that's kind of everybody's thing
and
right
also,
now. Oh, let's fix the damn roads
to
and
some,
this and that.
But unbeknownst to some people as well. Y'all, they've been fixing roads since we were little.
Exactly.
And back then, the contract workers would purposely drag out their contracts
exactly.
just to keep work. So if you have to drag out a contract.
In my opinion, that's something that should go into legislation.
Exactly.
And it should be mandated to where third-party contractors should not be able to prolong
right.
something for more than 5 years.
If you
if
pitch
anything,
to us that it takes this long, or even if you don't pitch to us, if we say, hey, can you get this job done in this amount of weeks, months, what years, whatever, stick to that contract, they shouldn't be able to come back and say, oh, unless they have viable proof, and they can create viable proof.
Exactly.
Though. So I understand where you're coming from, and I totally agree.
But not one political party said anything about the Flint water and how mm-hmm. they can help. So I don't know.
Well, actually,
Flint is Genesee County, right?
I believe so.
I don't know who's running in Genesee County. I didn't do the research.
But
on
I believe that Gretchen, in one of the Facebook videos that she did, she says that that's one of her main focuses is to get the state of Michigan clean water. I believe I also read at some point in time, she also said that she doesn't really trust them as far as the rest of the water systems go, because if Flint can be poisoned, then what other city can?
Exactly.
And she makes a very good point,
exactly.
which is why I want to kind of vote for her. I got to do more.
But
digging,
not
though.
To be mean, though, but the pipes are dirty anyway.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're old pipes, and I'm talking about just
we
across
talking about
the whole globe. You know what I'm saying? Just United States.
Okay,
period.
And if we want to just look at Michigan, come on, like a lot of houses that still stand today were put there in like the 20s.
Yeah.
So you got
the pipes
think about
are
it.
Old.
Yeah,
and you know what I'm
and
saying.
And they only can do one section at a time. So that means if one section rot, they're only taking care of that section.
Exactly.
So we are at risk.
So who's
so
to
don't
say?
Be naive
you know,
about that.
Flint is only about an hour and some change away from Detroit. So
yes,
who's
and we
to
know we used to provide
happen.
Them with water.
Exactly.
So you know if their water source can get poisoned, Detroit can too. So don't let that fool you.
Exactly.
Did you want to talk about something else?
You know, I want to touch on the proposals. Yes,
yeah.
That's something I definitely wanted to talk about. I was reading up on proposal section, proposal state section 18.1.
Okay.
And this proposal, it says, a proposal initiated law to authorize and legalize possessions, use, and cultivation of marijuana products by individuals who are at least 21 years of age and older and commercially sell of marijuana through state licensed retailers. This proposal would allow individuals 21 and older to purchase, possess, and use marijuana and marijuana-infused edibles and grow up to 12 marijuana plants for personal consumption. Impose a 10-ounce limit of marijuana kept at residence and require amounts over 2.5 ounces to be secured in locked containers. Create a state licensing system for marijuana businesses and allow and allow to ban or restrict them, permit retailer sales of marijuana and edibles subject to a 10% tax dedicated to implementing costs, clinical trials, school, roads, etc. Change several current violations from crimes to civil infractions. So I want to touch on the civil infractions part first. Now, this is kind of confusing a little bit, not so much, but a little bit, because we just not so long ago voted for dispensaries to be in place.
Right.
We just voted not too long ago for people to be able to obtain a marijuana card.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't know that that whole proposal, yeah, it went through. Yeah, it was approved, but it did not clear on the state level. And a lot of people didn't know that.
I'll tell you why. It didn't clear on the state level. Okay. This is my real answer, not the PC answer. Mm-hmm. The reason why it didn't clear is because they're making more money off of putting bodies in jail from it.
Exactly.
From a small
But that's what I'm saying.
Portion.
So what was the point of voting to be able to have a marijuana card and be able to have possession of it in your car or in your house if you have a card?
Well, the point
you still can get a ticket for it.
Exactly. Because the point was, okay, when we voted on that before, they didn't really, okay, Michigan has not really ever been well-versed in that. That's more of a California issue, which is why they have recreational use passed. So, like, it was a new foreign concept.
Mm-hmm.
So when they first introduced it, it was only geared towards people with, like, health problems or, like, chronic pain.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. So it was, like, a small, you know, percentage of people that even got the card after they voted for us to have it. So they could put in place those type of things like, oh, even if you got a card, I can arrest you if you have too much
money. That's what I'm saying. So you pay all of this money to get a card
because
to meet the
doctor. Because it used to be like $500
and you still
to get a medical marijuana card.
You still can get in trouble for it.
Exactly.
What was the point of voting on it if it wasn't going to be passed at a state level?
Because they knew what they were doing and we didn't know and we just passed it.
But, so that's why I'm wondering, are they going to be true to the word where it says charge several current violations from crimes to civil infractions? A civil infraction is still bad.
Exactly.
Because a civil infraction can be anything under the civil infraction category.
Exactly.
They didn't say what type of civil.
It didn't say what type.
They just said civil infractions.
Exactly.
Which are still horrible.
Exactly, because what if you're just, you're not a bad person, but you might have got caught up just, because, okay, we got to first explain what civil infractions are.
Yes.
So, civil infractions are not like felonies or misdemeanors.
Yes.
They're like, you can get a civil infraction by like jaywalking and a police officer is in front of you. So it's something little like that. So it's like, okay, then you have to take that verbiage and then put it into context for you. Like, okay, so what if I get a ticket without marijuana in my car, but I'm a medical marijuana holder? So then, you know, card holder, and it's legal. So then what if I can't get, I don't have the money to pay my ticket, then you're going to take my medical marijuana away? Like, or and put me in jail? Like, how many infractions does it take? That should have been more spelled out.
Because if I'm not mistaken, an OWI is considered a civil infraction.
Yeah. I think
and if
it,
people don't know
I
what,
because
I was looking at it right now, I said most traffic violations in Michigan are off offenses known as civil infractions and are not criminal offenses. The most common traffic civil infraction are speeding, careless driving, defective equipment, failure to wear a safety belt, failure to yield.
So imagine you in your car, you ain't got your seatbelt on. Because you just pulled out from the gas station. Because I know I take my seatbelt off. Everybody I know does. You got to get out. That's a civil infraction. So, like I said, now you're crossing driving laws.
Yes.
With drug laws.
And it's and to me, the thing that stood out the most is speeding.
Exactly.
They could say you were doing 100.
Oh, you're speeding because you have weed in your car.
100 and maybe a 70 mile. You know, every like 1 to 5 is what, 4 points or something like that.
Yep.
They could give you so many points to where your license
you don't even have
suspended.
To drive. You can't drive.
You know what I'm saying?
Or, so and then if you're, what if you're, and then what if you're a medical marijuana like business owner?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? As in, because they do have delivery services and things like that. So what if you're delivering, you know what I'm saying, which they passed that was legal to do before we had our election, which is so crazy. So all of these people, all of you guys that are delivering medical marijuana and getting people their medicine, what if you get pulled over and you have your everything? You have your card, you're showing you're legal, you got your medical marijuana in a lockbox. Nope, you're speeding.
Exactly.
You know, like, so all I'm saying
is
tickets
are just as expensive.
Yes, look and read everything because it can really affect you in the long run.
Also, what stood out to me that was weird is the part where it talks about permit retail sales of marijuana and edibles subjected to a 10% tax. How much are they paying
first
now in
of
tax?
All,
the dispensaries that's
they're
open.
They're already paying
legally and
taxes.
Illegally.
So why do you have to specially tax edibles?
Just the period, weed period.
Why are you taxing anything, period, when they're already paying their
but
taxes?
See my, but
I
see,
believe
the thing
they're
is,
doing
they don't
that.
Say if they're going to be taxing as
I believe,
each item they selling, like
I
it was
believe,
at a Kmart or something like that.
I believe
that.
It'd be more so like you tax, I hope. Like how you know. We
you saying when they do their taxes or quarterly they tax them?
No, I mean for you as the consumer is what I'm feeling.
So now
like
when I go into
do.
The dispensary and I want a gram.
That would only make sense.
I got to pay 10% tax
I mean,
on
they
that.
They already done tried to take out
the oh. Where you come from?
The edibles.
You just the... clicked in, girl. You now got to announce yourself.
They already took out, trying to take out the edibles.
Scared
out of the
shit out of me.
Out of the dispensaries anyway, when they tried to take the certain
exactly.
things out of the inner city.
So now they're talking about charging tax?
Yeah.
I don't get it. True. To me, so if you're going to be charging taxes,
it's
that tax
to me.
It's
just another way for somebody to say,
so that mean
I,
can I
don't
claim
want
it, right?
Because it's too expensive.
So that mean I can claim it at the end of the year, right?
Yeah. Because
that's what I'm wondering. Is
you,
it claimable? No offense to Whitney, but where are the receipts? Because
exactly.
I need to be filing taxes
I need
taxes
all
for
them
it.
Receipts. ASAP.
I need to call my accountant and give them that information. That to me, that doesn't make sense.
I was just about to say it. I'm be like, can I get my receipt?
Exactly, because I wanted
you
want
deduction. Me to pay taxes. Okay, that's fine, you know. But that's just another way for them to get people to not help, not make it legal, though.
Exactly,
you got to look
marijuana
at it from both sides.
To me, it's not that serious. I had a conversation. I was in transportation yesterday with my teachers and my a couple of volunteers and classmates, and a friend of mine, shout out to Walita. She asked me today. She got a support group. Shout out to her support group. She asked me to be a speaker at a support group, but she was talking about marijuana. And she said that she feels like with cigarettes. She just gave an example.
Yeah.
She don't smoke cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was on a ballot to, take away cigarettes forever, she would vote against
it. And I'm a cigarette smoker.
She would vote against it because she said, even though that's not her habit, who is she to take it away?
That's true.
So she feel like, she said, she was telling my other teacher, she said, her feelings are, marijuana helps people. She
yeah.
said she goes through things where y'all want to sit up here and talk about, y'all want to take away all these pain pills and things like that,
mm-hmm.
but then you want to take away the marijuana. You cannot detach mm-hmm. people from everything. Then people are going to mm-hmm. be dying. And regardless
yeah.
of whatever you do, people are going to get the substance.
Exactly. They're going to get it on the black market like we've done for years and years and years. Exactly. Or why don't you just make the right decision, and that way the monies from these businesses will go back into the economy. Not only that, I just want to speak to as well what you said, like how she said that even though she's not a smoker, she will vote if they tried to take away tobacco. Let's talk about tobacco, because Big Tobacco doesn't care about anything but Big Tobacco. So they're not helping Michigan. They're not helping your state. They're not helping anything. They're actually making you sicker. And while everybody wants to brainwash you into thinking that weed is a gateway drug, actually, no, it's cigarettes. Tobacco is the biggest, to me, the biggest gateway drug that is legal. Forget pills. Forget all that. Because when you don't have nicotine, you go crazy. I know.
I was just about to say that. Nicotine is very addictive.
It's a very entryway gate drug. And then with the pill situation, with the opiate crisis, opiate is a plant that grew from the ground.
It was legal
at one point in time in this country. They were putting it in cough syrup for babies and all types of stuff. But as soon as... You know what I'm saying? It started getting to where other people were getting addicted to it. The people that were not rich. Then it became an issue. So I just feel
an
like
an epidemic.
It's, yeah, it becomes an epidemic. And I just feel like that's how they get, you know, people that have less than. Because they target you with some things that you like. Or they'll say, oh, it's bad and you're doing this. But... You introduced FDA. You passed all of these rights and these laws.
I feel like no addiction is better than the other, whether it's not. Weed or whether you're addicted to eating.
Exactly.
Whether you're addicted to caffeine, like you said.
You have an addiction, period.
It's
whether you're addicted to food, chips, drinks, you have an addiction.
Exactly.
And it's going to take a toll on your body. One thing I did do is I went to rehab at an early age. And what I learned in rehab was that very sentiment that I just said. Addiction comes in so many different forms. Like, I was there, like, looking at people like, why are you here? You know, because, like, depending on how you grow up and how strong your parents are, you don't experience certain things or the way your family is set up. You may not experience things, so... I didn't really see how the like heroin epidemic was hitting hard in certain places with minorities until I went there, and it just blew my mind because it was like a girl that was younger than me. She was like 17 at the time.
Wow.
And fully addicted to heroin, and her parents, you know, tried to get her help. But she ran away from the rehab facility. And it's just like, once you look at all of these things, and I brought that up to say that these pills like Percocet and all that, where do you think they get it from? It's nothing but synthetic forms of drugs that are already existing.
And then they always want to blame Detroit on something.
True.
Because you live in a city, or regardless of your skin color, you just automatically know about drugs.
Because you're from the big
city. Because you're from the big city. But to totally be honest, it's more, it's a big drug epidemic in the suburbs as well.
And it always has been.
Yeah. That's like,
it was just kept under wraps.
When I was in high school, it was primarily Caucasian. And it was just I had to go there for my senior year. And because we lived in the city, me and my group of friends, and all these girls, I went to all-girls school, they wanted weed or whatever the case may be. So they would come to us and ask us for certain drugs. I'm like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't do coke, so I don't know. You know, it's not like I've never seen it before, but, you know, I don't know.
It's like I'm not the seller.
She probably knew where to get it. She just wasn't going to reveal
it. No, it was a simple fact
because
of...
Because I wouldn't have wanted to end up in the crazy house.
Not even exactly. That. The high school I went to, which closed, whatever, but closing or whatever. No, I don't give a damn. But
that's horrible. Your alma mater.
That's not my alma mater. Nothing. But... I'm just saying, like, they...
Shout out, they, ladies.
No, I will never shout out them. Fuck you.
Oh, don't say that. Wow. We were having a productive conversation. We're going to have to throw you out of our conversation.
I don't care. And I meant what the fuck I said because they were racist.
Oh,
but in any event...
That's not nice.
We're not care. On that,
I'm
okay?
Glad, I'm glad they're close.
We're talking about... Get out of my... Get out of this. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get off the mic.
Get.
Hold on one second. No, it's not. Damn. She asked you if you had to leave out earlier.
It was something.
Or if you needed something. But, yeah, get off the mic. Back up. Because you're, like, coughing in the mic. Or lift it up.
I just wanted to say this one quick thing that I found was interesting.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I'm about to
about
get off
the marijuana thing.
Okay, go ahead.
It said that it's going to let you have 12 marijuana plants. That's weird.
That's weird.
When if you had a car, you could only have 6.
Hold on, though. This is a total setup. Because, okay, you could possess 10 plants and you could transport 6. Now, you know people going to be like, I'm going to just get those 6.
But what else they don't speak on is in this proposal, which I don't know. I'm trying to be unbiased.
I'm
going to
research it further.
But,
I think I'm going to research it further.
What else I found confusing about it was... a lot of people don't know that when you had that marijuana card, in some places, in some states, they were forcing parents to choose between growing and having a child.
That's true.
In your home.
That's very true.
And not once, I not too long ago, I seen it on Let It Rip. You guys could probably just Fox 2 Let It Rip. Mm-hmm. They had people come in and they were talking about this proposal. And not once in that proposal did they say it was okay for parents to have and grow and still have their children in the home. Even in this text here, it doesn't say anything about if you will get any legal repercussions if you grow in your house and have children.
Right.
Which that no one ever speaks on that. And I feel like that's something that they should inform the voters.
Yeah.
So then they can have another choice, because this could be just another one of those loophole things where
they get you to vote, but then once you dig up under the surface, it's other holes that they'll use to get you into, like I said, deeper trouble.
Exactly.
So I just implore everybody just
to
study
read.
The candidate. Right.
Read.
Everything is not going to be on Instagram. Everything is not going to be on Facebook. So please do your research. This election is very, very, very... I can't stress how important this is. So moving away from that.
We got to... No.
Okay.
I want to touch on 18.
One more.
I'm going to
give you two more points, and then I'm done.
No. I want to talk about the other proposal that they have in place. It's a proposed constitutional amendment to establish a commission of citizens with exclusive authority to adopt district boundaries for the Michigan Senate, Michigan House of Representatives, and in U.S. Congress every 10 years. This proposed constitution amendment would create a commission of 13 registered voters randomly selected by the Secretary of State for each who self-identify as affiliated with the two major political parties, and 5 self-identified as unaffiliated with major political parties. Prohibits office holders and candidates, their employees, certain relatives, and lobbyists from serving as commissions. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but basically what that's talking about is being able to have the voters actually step in positions to help make a change.
You know what? When I first heard that proposal, I was like, no. But then as I heard it continue to be rolled out and them explaining it more extensively, I did start to think, like, this is a very good look. Because going a little bit deeper. So the representatives would be, like you said, regular people that are just designated to a neighborhood. So what their purpose would be is, say if you and I want to open up a brick and mortar, mm-hmm. and we want to take it to somewhere outside of our community, we have to meet then those community leaders and have them you know, show us the culture of the neighborhood and what people in this neighborhood actually want and what they don't want, and just basically giving you points about the natives in that particular neighborhood. So when they put it from that aspect, I found it was pretty cool. And they also have something in there as far as this proposal goes that stops the people that that are the state representatives, like they can't have any bias, or they don't have the power to have any merit to just walk around and tell you what, you know, what not to do and what to do. It's just that they're kind of like a culture committee. Like if you go, like if you go to other states, they have this where like you meet somebody who's been in that particular community for a long amount of time, and then they explain to you the natives who live there, the people who's been there the longest.
And the reason, another reason why, and it'll segue into me saying this, the reason why I'm for this proposal is because gentrification is so strong right now and is so rampant across the United States.
Just a little bit of history repeating.
And if you have something like this in place, it's going to open the eyes of the person that is trying to move in that area, no matter what their nationality is, ethnicity, etc. It'll help them know and understand
how that particular community works.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you're not coming in and being a burden, because a lot of times these whole gentrification altercations are coming from people
where people just want a cheap house.
Yes.
And then they buy that house and they move in that house, and then they're looking at other community members like, yes, okay, why do you let this guy do this when he's a drunk? Well, no, he grew up in this neighborhood, and this is his only home.
And it will help with gerrymandering, and that's what I wanted to segue to, is the gerrymandering. A lot of people don't know what that is, but basically gerrymandering is when people of political parties are able to basically steal votes and things of that nature. And a lot of people don't know this, but gerrymandering is really happening in District 1. That's what we had spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because I had looked up those zip codes, and the zip codes are pretty much the Brightmoore, Grand Mount area. And when I was,
and you
want to
know why? Because it's a lot of empty land.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying to you.
Under control.
Brightmoore is really kind of a sought off area right now because it's so depleted, and that's one of our biggest neighborhoods on the west side. That's depleted.
Closest to a major suburb.
Exactly, which is Redford
or Livonia.
Exactly, and I feel like
Dearborn Heights. It borders on a lot of different suburbs.
And I feel like that area is sought after because it could be prime real estate gentrification.
It is prime real estate.
And it's prime real estate for gentrification because it's it has a major freeway. It has 696 that will take
696, 96. What other freeway connects?
That will take you to all suburban areas.
Yeah. 75.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
which will take you to those suburban areas. So people be mindful of gerrymandering. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to touch on it in depth,
because that's something you got to read on your own.
Yes, but research that, because if that
is a major factor,
and if that goes through,
because I live in that area and I'm just waiting and foreseeing how it will affect me. Paying rent.
The rent is going to go up.
It's going to definitely go up.
The rent is going to go up.
But
in that whole area.
I hope in
renters, the people that are renting houses in that area, they're going to up the rent. Your landlords are going to up the rent because they know that
this is a prime real estate area.
People are going to be calling their phone saying, hey, I'll give you an offer to buy this house.
What type of stuff shouldn't people vote for?
They shouldn't, in my opinion, it's
not really,
definitely vote for that proposal too, 18-2, about having people.
Well, I don't want to say, listen, I don't want to, we can't say you vote for this,
I'm not saying that.
So what I'm saying, that's why I'm saying to just, you know, look up these candidates.
Yes.
And make your own choice. It's not really telling you, you vote for this or you vote for that. We're just saying to look out for certain things. So what are you trying to say?
I forgot.
Anyway,
she's clearly checked out. The undertone thing is, once you guys...
No, you were saying something in the car, like, don't vote for...
I was saying about John. No, she was talking about me when I was saying that John, he's somebody that's a wolf in sheep's clothing,
yeah,
because he's a Republican.
First.
And I was just saying that a lot of times, a lot of people didn't know that Dave Bing, our mayor before, what's the mayor now for Detroit?
I can't
think of his name. But any event, before him, it was Dave Bing. And Dave Bing was a Republican. And people didn't know that he was a Republican. He never once voiced that he was a Republican.
Before Mike Duggan.
So it's like, you guys, you just got to be mindful of when it comes to voting. Just don't vote because you think it's cute to put it on Instagram or the sticker saying I voted. Vote because you have an understanding. Vote because you truly want to make a change. Vote because you know what these changes can do for not only you, but for years to come.
For your children, their family, etc. For the elderly people in your life.
Yes.
All of that. Everything that affects you right now in the present, you need to be researching and voting for.
I think I
didn't
vote a lot because I felt like...
Why do you keep coming in very random? Go. You didn't vote because...
No, I was saying, like, a lot of people our age group don't vote because they feel like it's... What is it going to change necessarily?
Not to be mean, but I don't really vote, to be honest. I don't. And the reason why I don't vote is because none of the political parties talk about the things that matter to me. And right now, to me, what matters to the average person is not about the damn roads. It's not about that.
Okay.
It's about the high price of these car insurance. It's about the high price of this health insurance that you have to make a decision between. Am I going to be able to pay my rent or am I going to be able to pay my car insurance?
Mm.
And
okay.
to me, those
so,
are the things that are important. So and none of those political parties really talk about that.
This is all I really have to say. What you guys have to realize, like I always used to tell her as far as voting, because I made her vote for the first time. But you have to understand that it's a trickle-down effect, like it is with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get certain things on the ballot and certain people to care about those certain things, if they voted for them, then even if they wasn't knowledgeable before, and maybe they voted yes or maybe they voted no, but it passed, and then it's a working, you know, you can build from that.
That's
so
why
just
I think
look
that
at it as a stepping
proposal
stone.
Could help, because that'll be the individuals like you and me that want certain things fought for that isn't always typically spoken on and fought for, because there's no way in crap that we should be paying high prices for car insurance. It just is this crazy.
Like, this car insurance is crazy.
And another thing, I don't really know the logistics on how Canada has free health insurance, but why haven't we adopted that yet?
Well, in Canada, they have free health insurance, but they have to pay for all of their medicine. So, like, on YouTube, it's a documentary if you want to go watch it on Canada's medical situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they have free health insurance, but all of their medicine, so they have to pay full price for their insulin. So that's like $500. So what they're doing is actually come over to the United States and buying blood pressure medicine off the street.
Right.
Like,
because
it's illegal,
it's expensive. Like, so they're saying, ours is a little balanced. You have to, our health care, you have to pay for co-pays and like that, but they're like, what's the point of going to the doctor? They can't even afford their treatments.
Exactly.
Everything costs. They don't.
That's what I mean by everything has a catch. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? So that's why I was saying, like, get to know what these candidates are fighting for. Get to understand these proposals that are on your ballot. Hopefully people will see you at the polls.
Yes.
On November the 6th.
Come out and vote,
Tuesday.
You guys.
Go on and vote. Okay. All right. That's the boring part. All right. Let's go with some trending topics.
Yes.
So.
I love Instagram. I just want to put that out there. I love Instagram. I'm always on Instagram.
Oh, God. So I guess I can't avoid this because I'm a barb. Nicki Minaj and Cardi B.
You know, I don't.
I'm not talking
mean,
about
but I'm
this.
Not a fan, really, of either one. I'm not.
You know what, Nicki? I've been a
Little Kim
barb.
Little Kim, baby, I love you.
Good night.
Oh well, I love
you know
Kim.
What? Let me do this. Let me do this. I think we're gonna both of them together. So, You know what? I can't say anything about Lil' Kim because I grew up on Lil' Kim. I didn't grow up on
Nicki
Minaj.
Exactly. So watch your mouth.
So, but what made me become a Nicki Minaj fan is because I'm a musical credits person. Mm-hmm. So if I go into your credits and I see that Biggie done wrote for you half of your album and you only got credits on four songs... I didn't care at that time because you delivered them very good, baby girl. But at the end of the day, Nicki Minaj has all of her credits. And that's it.
I like Lil' Kim, but she's just stupid.
Just to counter that, you can use hush money to hush these people up and to say, hey, I'm going to buy you out. And
okay,
I'm
that's
say, I'm
called the
Beyonce credit.
Effect.
That's called the anybody effect.
No, that's called.
Because if it wasn't a such thing, then it wouldn't be no ghostwriters.
Beyonce was the first contemporary female artist to really do that, to like take people's songs and be like, I'm paying you for this song, and then go do a run real, real long, and then say, oh, yeah, I wrote it because I did that run. Like, no, you didn't, girl. You just did a run at the end. She's like, yeah, I did. So, no, that's strictly from Beyonce. But Nicki Minaj actually has proof. Like, this girl has hours and hours of footage of showing her writing in a composition notebook, her writing in the studio. She has two whole documentaries that was on TV. So besides that point, that's what made me like Nicki a little more than Cardi. I mean, Cardi or Lil' Kim. Like, after Lil' Kim just ran down, it was more like I kind of bumped into Nicki Minaj. I'm like, why is she? Because I didn't like Nicki at first. I'm like, oh, verse is annoying. Oh, this is annoying. But then when I started having appreciation for her, because she just didn't care. Like, she didn't care no more. It was like, okay, she followed the so-called pink print on, you know what I'm saying, her first album. But
she used to think Nicki was irritating.
Her second album, though, had really made me have a love and appreciation for Nicki because she didn't care. It was like, if you go back and listen to Rum Reloaded, she did not care. She opens the album with the operatic rap song and then goes into, like, I Am Your Leader. That's, like, a traditional boppy, like, New York song. Whatever. We weren't supposed to talk about her career because you should already know it because you've been around at this point for 10 years. What's sad is the beef between her and Cardi is back at all-time high. Girl.
Oh, not to interject really quickly, but now her and Ellen is homegirls, right? Nicki and Ellen is homegirls.
So for 10 years she's been on there.
So I came across a clip and I thought it was funny that she had a young lady on there for Halloween and the little girl said that she was Nicki Minaj.
Oh, well,
and then what she did was she took a shoe and she taped it to the little girl's head and said, now this is when Cardi threw the shoe at you. I want to find that clip because I'm wondering, did Nicki know about that?
Well, she probably did. She probably did. They good girlfriends.
Well, I found that to be very funny that she
did that.
Because, you
know, every time Nicki goes on Ellen, like, they always have playful talk. So I really don't. She understands that Ellen is a comedian. So I don't think she really takes anything that Ellen says seriously. Because Ellen, yo, been on Ellen been on some crazy stuff on this season. She's so cute. Ellen is a savage.
Now, this is the shoe that Cardi B threw at you.
Oh.
Said this is the shoe that Cardi B threw at you.
Okay, cut it off.
Wow. I don't know if you guys heard that, but you can YouTube it.
YouTube it. Okay, but getting back to that, girl, okay, this is all I got to say. Nicki. You 35, dear, and you just rapped on Queen. A real queen is never mad or bitter, and you are coming off
it's just
as,
getting annoying
as both. You're coming off as bitter, and because you didn't foresee that Cardi was going to be such a big artist. You thought that she was going to be like all the rest of the girls that came within your 10 years, did a little song, did a little bop, did a little two-step, and then was exit right. So she stuck around.
Why they can't do like the men rappers do? Instead of doing all these interviews, why they can't get in the booth
and make 17 diss tracks against each other? Let me tell you why. For one, it's because after we had that 90s revolution of like Little Kim and Missy and Queen Latifah and all of them like supporting each other, you have to remember female rap almost just died. It almost went away. If Lil Wayne didn't see the where, okay, I'm going to sign this girl because it ain't no dope-ass female rappers and I'm going to put her in this position. If he never realized that, we still probably wouldn't have any female. We would have female rappers, but they would be like the ones that came out during her 10-year period where they came out, they might have hit one hit, and she would support them, but then they would just fall by the wayside.
I still feel like they can get in the booth and make a few diss tracks against each other. Whoever wins, they win.
Okay,
and then they
well,
make
that's
up
not
and gonna, love each
that's
other.
Not gonna happen because Cardi doesn't write her. Because
at the end
rap.
Of the day, that's gonna sell music. That's gonna sell, you know, records, and it's gonna line their pockets even more. So
okay,
why not
quit
all these videos, get in that booth, and start rapping?
Okay, but Nicki tweeted after all things blew up that she was done. They agreed to be done. But my point is, why even let it get to this point? And Cardi, like, you want to talk about Nicki, you're a grown woman, too. You just popped out a baby. Nicki, though, both of y'all are in the wrong. That's my view of it. Both of y'all are very, very wrong. Because, Nicki, you're wrong because if you're supposed to be the queen, when her sister throws stones at your pedestal, they don't reach you. So you should just turn around. Like, you've been here for 10 years at this point. You're 35 years old. Cardi is 25. You 10 years older than her. So it really shouldn't have mattered. I don't really care about this topic. Next.
I'm not a fan of them either.
I'm good.
I've never
you
been
know,
a fan
I'm
of
good about it.
Either way.
Check out Nicki and Tyga with Dip. You know, it bops a little bit in your whip. But unlike Cardi B's money, and that's not me being biased because I did say I was a barb, but Cardi, like, the only thing I really, really would want to say to Cardi is that, girl, just step your game up. Like, stop letting it be so easy because you're building a legacy as well. Like, people are going to look back on this time and remember this time, whether you stay around for 5 more years or not. And if you played the classy high road and you just started saying, okay, I'm going to show her. I'm about to make these songs. I'm about to actually try to write some shit. Because Nicki does have a point there. Nicki is a rapper. You're not a rapper. You're just an entertainer that fell into rapping because nowadays everybody think that's cute. It's cute to rap. It's cute if you can't rap. It's cute just to make a little ditty in a nursery rhyme. But like, girl, Nicki really comes from, I said at school every day and I wrote raps, like most rappers come from. So I can understand her frustration.
That's what I'm saying. The proof is in the actions. Mm-hmm. And if you're a rapper, you wouldn't want to be talking. You would want to be rapping.
Exactly. That's you wouldn't even talk. Saying. You just rap.
That's all I'm saying.
Anyways, besides that, so does anybody watch American Horror Story besides me?
You know what? You know, I was at work not too long ago, and I'm also a CNA, y'all. So that just lets you know I do multiple things. But
yeah, we're both jack of all trades.
I'm a CNA. That's how I make my day money, and I also drive Uber and Lyft. So if you guys are on IG, find me. If you need me to be your Uber and your Lyft, I do private rides. Hit me up. We can always arrange some stuff. But in any event, I'll speed it up.
Not
so
good.
I was working. And I was working a night shift, and I didn't have nothing to do. So I was like, maybe I should just pick a show and catch up on. Because Atlanta, FX is screwy because they put them on a subscription thing where you got to have a subscription to watch them on demand, which is some bullshit.
On FX
So
Plus.
In any event, I was like, well, I'll watch Horror Story Apocalypse. You know, I'll see what that's about. So I watched it. I watched probably like maybe up to episode 4. I haven't seen anything after that. But, you know, I kind of... how do I put this? I love theater. I love movies. I love all of that stuff. That's my passion. But I feel like sometimes we push the envelope a little too damn much. And it's becoming irritating. And it isn't good because when parents aren't watching their children, they're watching whatever they want. So I say that to say this. The show is good. The acting is good, but I don't feel like everything has to have a gay character in it. I don't feel like every project.
I mean, okay,
show,
well, look at it like this. It's gay. Gay people are a part of life.
I agree.
So
but I don't feel
your
like
your kid is going to encounter a gay person.
That's true.
So,
but on the
you
TV,
may necessarily not be ready.
I think it's just over.
You
it's
may
overkill.
Necessarily not be ready to introduce that into your kid's life, and that's fine. That comes
yeah.
with you being an adult. But to say that gay characters are overused is a little crazy.
I think it is overused.
It's, no, it's a little crazy
to me,
because
overused.
They were because there was a time in cinema and in history period where gay people were not being used at all, where gay people had to be prostitutes to make it.
That's a true statement.
So it's like, or people had to sell their bodies, or people had to do things that they were not proud of, even to just eat. Like, as far as, okay, going to polls, like, how they show how houses came about. You know, like, as far as gay houses, like the House of Angelista
yeah.
and stuff like that. That was only because gay, the person's family was kicking their kids
yeah,
out because
yeah,
they
yeah.
were gay. So then you imagine going to a club and finding people that you don't know that has your back more than your family.
No, I agree
you know
with
what
that.
I'm saying? So it's I love Pose because if you watch Pose, and even if you're a gay person that really doesn't know a lot about gay history
yeah.
and, you know, where did the idea of houses come from? Why are balls important? Why are all of this stuff important in gay culture? If you watch Pose, they basically sum it up real, real good in one season because they didn't know if they would get a second season.
Mm.
So they sum it up very, very well.
Okay.
And it's very raw. And they show how, instead of in reverse, how all these years we would only see, you know what I'm saying, primarily white characters being shown being, you know, out and proud and gay. And even if
yeah.
they got picked on, they still came up at the end.
Yes.
Now you're getting to see how, on the flip side, how minorities had to deal with that.
Right.
From, you know, Indian to, you know, black to, you know,
Mexican,
like you
Chinese,
get to see a slice
Japanese.
Of everything. And then you get to see them dealing with that within hip hop culture. When hip hop culture started being big in New York in the 80s, you get to see how all of these things intersect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that. But as far as American Horror Story Apocalypse, I know a lot of people were saying that they don't like this season because of the Satan aspect, which is very dumb because this whole, like, anthology series has a touch of evil in every season.
Yeah, it does.
So it's like,
and if anybody that watches American Horror Stories, they know that they intersect seasons
exactly.
with each other because they brought
yeah
what was it called the
Murder,
Coven.
Murder House and Coven.
Yeah,
this is their crossover season.
Yeah,
which they're also doing. Interestingly, they're also tying in Roanoke Hotel.
Yeah, I did see that. That's when they had got Gabby.
Yeah.
From the hotel.
Mm-hmm. They killed, what's her character? Queenie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, because that was her personal hell. She wanted to go to the Price is Right, and then she ended up at a shady hotel. And that's her personal hell. But you, if you watch it more, you'll understand where
right.
that comes from. But this season, I feel like everybody is wrong, and this season is pretty clutch. Now, last night's Halloween episode is all I wanted to talk about because Ryan Murphy, damn it, you made me so mad. Like, why do you do this? Like, every season he does stuff that just make me be like, do you do this on purpose? Because, you know, we gonna be on the internet, like, American Horror Story fans gonna be all in y'all mentions like, F this episode, I hate you. Because it wasn't like, American Horror Story usually have the best Halloween episodes. Like, they're either very gory and scary, or they just have a good, good storyline that just makes you want to watch that episode over and over again. But this episode was very middle of the road. Like, it wasn't even middle of the road. It was boring. Let me just be
frank.
I
didn't see it. So.
It was boring. It was about how, but it was a lot of interesting parallels. So the episode, I forgot the name of it. I wanted to say Traitor, but that was the episode before. This episode, I don't remember the episode name. But basically, we go to Michael, and he's in the woods, and he's praying to his demon daddy, well, his devil daddy. And he's asking him, "Daddy, come save me and tell me where to go." And it's a parallel right away to Jesus and how he sought refuge in the forest to fast. And while he was fasting, he had hallucinations of people, of demons, offering him food. In this scenario, though, we have angels actually offering Michael food because he's starving to death. And also, because one guy literally turns into an angel and tells him, like, choose God. And he stays delusional. And so he gets out of the forest. He finds the Church of Satan, where we get to see Sandra Bernhardt. She used to be on Roseanne. She used to stand a comedian. So she's, like, berating people, telling them, like, you're not sinning big enough. You're not sinning hard enough. I'm sinning because I gave all my money to the NRA so they can kill people. What are you guys doing? And then he walks in, beautiful as ever, because the guy, I don't want to see him outside of this. Because I would really believe that he was Antichrist. Because that guy is beautiful. He's beautiful. Like, he has beautiful
blue eyes. Is that the guy with the long hair?
Yes, the one that plays Michael.
That's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's beautiful like they say the devil would be, and I would be very scared to meet him in person. No, just kidding. But seriously, the episode last night.
I will say he has an androgynous look.
He does. I think that's on purpose, too.
Yes.
And it's just interesting with this season. But I was talking about American Horror Story, too, because I really implore you guys to go and check out the last season, which was Cult. Because Cult also tied into this
what time
season
is it?
Very quickly.
6:15.
Thank you.
Remember when you had to call, you could call a number to find out what
time it was?
And it'd
be like, what time is it?
No, it is now 7:15. When 6:15 comes, it'll be a beep.
Yeah, like beep.
I forgot what you used to have to dial to call that.
I know.
But you guys will never know. You new generation.
Or movie phone.
Yes. Movie phone. Or actually having to open up a newspaper.
Right.
Buy a newspaper.
And seeing Showtime. Oh, God. Back to American Apocalypse, though. It was pretty cool. Ryan Murphy, you messed up the Halloween episode. Whatever. So do you guys have any other hot topics you want to talk about?
I want
no,
to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine.
No. Quickly, Tekashi 6ix9ine. And we end at 7, though, right?
I'm recording.
I told her to mix it together.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
But Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's staying in the headlines. He's an interesting character. I don't know what he's exactly trying to do. Is he trying to be a rapper or is he trying to be a 50 Cent? And that's somebody who is straight-y bullying people all day long. He's a troll. I think he's a troll more than a rapper. I was reading some stuff which we were talking about
the
other day.
Hold on. Wait. You just not figuring out that 6ix9ine is a troll?
No, I always knew he was a troll, but I'm saying, is he more of a troll than a rapper, or what is he?
He's a troll.
Because I don't see him as a rapper.
He's in the class of the people nowadays who are just rapping just to rap. Like, that's just it. Like, they're rapping.
You think he has a ghostwriter?
He doesn't rap about anything. What does he need a ghostwriter for? I'm serious.
I want to know.
Oh, no.
I mean, because...
Okay.
Maybe if he did have a ghostwriter, he would have more raps out.
I don't care.
More songs out.
Anyway, we have nothing else to talk about. We take it up with the election talk and all of that. So we're going to end here. Hopefully, I see you guys on the flip side and you listen to Blending After Dark.
Yes.
I'm Mickey Knox. That was Millie Mills, always coming in unexpected and random as hell. And Antoine with the hair. Follow him on IG.
Yes.
Jack of all trades.
Yes. Check me out. I want to do a little shameless plug real quick if I can.
Quickly.
I have a few projects that's coming out. I don't know the exact dates on them, but the Forever Choice, you can look that up on Facebook. The Forever Choice is about suicide and people committing suicide and just how to cope with it and things like that. Sins of David should be out sometime next year.
Okay.
And I'm about to start going into filming real soon for a movie called Deceitful Passion. So definitely be on the lookout for these projects because they are coming. And it was good being here. And I was excited to be asked to come.
I don't know why you were excited. You could have been game. I don't know.
Well, yes. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. I meant to ask you this. I'm going to ask you on air. So we supposed to go see Dumb Blonde. Are we going?
You know, I want to go see them.
We're going to see you. We're coming to see you, Dumb Blonde.
My finances is in order. Shut up.
We're going. We're going.
Because I love them.
Hopefully.
They're my secret. What is it? The secret.
Your secret crushes.
Not only that, but my secret little personal. You know, you don't always tell people. Like, I have secret songs. Yeah. I have secret songs that I don't like to play with other people. I just like to play by myself.
All right. Hopefully you see us. If you're at St. Andrews, we're going
to
see Dumb
Come up to us.
Come up to us.
I'm very impressionable and very open.
All right. Signing off. Blood and After Dark. Thank you.